arrested on child pornography charges after police say he had a, quote, staggering amount of child pornography. He is currently in the Elmore County Jail on a $150,000 bond. An Alabama health official say subsequent testing shows an Alabama infant did not have measles. Health officials say final test results from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention were negative for measles after the initial test was positive. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
And now, the worst commercial ever.
Say, Jan, as a fellow respected small business professional, I wonder, who do you use for commercial auto and business insurance?
Progressive, of course. They helped with a customized insurance solution for my busy florist company.
I'm so glad we had this chance encounter in this busy restaurant.
Yes, that fake conversation was brutal. Whereas commercial auto and business insurance through Progressive is anything but. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com to quote today. Insurance provided in service by Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. It's affiliated in third-party insurers.
The new DQ Summer Blizzard menu is finally here. But this isn't the only sound a Blizzard treat makes. These Summer Blizzard flavors sound like jumping off the high dive. A night drive with the windows down. That scraping noise at the bottom of the cup as you scoop up the last delicious bite. That's what these Blizzard flavors sound like. And nothing sounds better than new flavors like brownie dough and caramel cannonball. And fan favorites like cotton candy. All on the new Summer Blizzard menu.
DQ. Happy tastes good.
Hey, this is Randy and Tammy Burkhalter at Prattville Farm Center.
Randy, why do you plant a garden?
Well, I raise a garden with my family every year, and it's just kind of in my blood.
Well, what if you don't know how to raise a garden?
Well, that's when you come to Prattville Farm Center, because we have the seed and the supplies and the knowledge to help you whether you're an old hand or just starting out.
So come get your family garden started today at Prattville Farm Center.
Visit Prattville Farm Center at 1154 South Memorial Drive and like them on Facebook.
If you have a pool, you know about needing help with it from time to time. I have found that company for you, Fagan Pool Service. They're a Regal Chemical dealer. They've been in business over 40 years. Regal Chemicals are the very top of the line. This is family-owned, father-son duo. They handle all repairs such as pool liners, pumps, motors, filters, salt generators, leak detection, you name it. American run by two veterans, so you can trust they know the importance of hard work, dedication, and integrity.
Has your pool lost its fun? We keep you in the swim of things. Call 201-1819, 201-1819, Fagan Pool Service.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3, only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The severe weather slamming the south. Dangerous storms from the Gulf Coast to Virginia.
President Trump is warning China to act now on a trade deal or it will be far worse for them.
Colorado is about to enact a controversial law meant to reduce gun violence.
The extreme risk protection orders give judges the power to decide if officers can temporarily take away guns.
A new report claims the president and allies are blocking 20 investigations and 79 requests for documents and information.
Actress Peggy Lipton has died. The former model became a star in two pioneering TV hits, The Mod Squad in the late 60s and Twin Peaks in the 90s.
Actress Felicity Huffman is expected back in court. She's agreed to plead guilty for her part in the college admission scandal.
Pokemon Detective Pikachu made $58 million, but it still could not beat Avengers Endgame. The Marvel movie earned another $63 million this weekend.
I guess all of us have had the experience of getting into a discussion and coming up with the right answer 2 hours later when we're all alone. I'll be right back. My award for someone who thought of the right answer while the discussion was still going on is a young man named Brad Lanaweaver, a member of Young Americans for Freedom at Pennsylvania State University. He has written of an encounter on the campus with a pretty young lady who believes socialism is the answer to our problems. His own philosophy was self-evident because he was wearing a button that proclaimed, "Cut down big government." With the cool breeze stirring her hair, she asked what Brad described as her ace-up-the-sleeve question. Even you right-wingers don't want to starve. Wouldn't you like a guarantee that you won't ever go hungry? Brad knew that if he admitted to this, she'd follow with, "So why not such a guarantee for shelter, medicine, and all the rest?" He paused, and then gave her the victory she was seeking. or so she thought. He said, sure, I'd like to lay my hands on everything I can get. Oh, she said, but the state is the closest you can come to such a guarantee. Brad described her as braced for a counterattack involving the magic of the market mechanism, but he threw another curve. Sure, he said, I grant that. There's something more. I'd like a guarantee of shelter and medical treatment and even some recreation. She must have thought she had a convert. A little shocked, she spoke, but that's what we support. Why are you wearing that button? She meant, of course, that cut-down big government button. Brad wasn't finished. He said to her, I would also like a yacht. Somewhat defeated, she answered, well, if you're not going to be serious about it. But I am, Brad said as earnestly as he could. I would really and truly like a yacht. Also a seaside villa. Look, she said sternly, you know what I'm talking about. Sharing. I'm not interested in your greedy daydreams. I'm asking what everyone should have. All right, Brad answered, I understand. Let everyone have a yacht. But how, she asked lucidly with the first sign of a rational thought. Don't bother me with that, he said. There'll be a way, I'm sure. Just so everyone has a yacht. However, there is one more thing I would like. What, she asked. Two yachts. Brad wrote that she looked rather unpleasant at that point, and he feared for his safety. Then she declared, it's people like you who keep socialism from working. And Brad agreed. Yes, quite right. Perhaps if people like me were put away somewhere, socialism would have a chance. By now she was really glaring as she tried to think of an answer. Brad continued, but there's still one problem. How many are there, like me? Well, not as many as you think, she said, and walked away. And then Brad came up with a really appropriate last line. He wrote, there she's wrong, and that's why she's a socialist. How right he is. Socialists ignore the side of man that is of the spirit. They can provide shelter, fill your belly with bacon and beans, treat you when you're ill, all the things that are guaranteed to a prisoner or a slave. They don't understand that we also dream. Yes, even of sometime owning a yacht. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Stock market is off 698 points, and the temperature outside is beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous, 75 degrees. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself, the one and only Joey Clark.
Hello.
How you doing today, big guy?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Outstanding. It is gorgeous. I mean, this is like a picture-perfect day today.
Yes.
I love it. 75 degrees, no humidity, crystal clear sky, blue skies. Oh, man. Hey, you know, something's going on this weekend downtown.
Oh, really?
Has to do with some of our favorite subjects. One is beer.
Yes.
Another one is music. Let's bring in our good friend from the city, the guy who makes all these great events happen. Ken Richter. Ken, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hey, thank you, Dan. Good to be here.
Good to have you. It's, so tell me about the event.
Well, we're going to have
Ken Richter instead of Ken Reynolds.
Ken Reynolds.
two good friends. So tell us about the events this weekend.
Well, we're going to have a fantastic weekend downtown. We're going to kick it off on Friday night, starting at 6 o'clock under the train shed. We're going to have our 7th annual Riverbend Brewfest.
Wow! Seventh annual, huh?
It's hard to believe. Time flies when you're having fun, and we're having a great deal of fun downtown.
You really are. I tell you, it's a great event. Now, let's talk about something along with the Brewfest. Will there be any food involved in this at all?
There will be a great deal of food involved with this. We'll have everything from Chris's hot dogs to pizza to any number of items. I think we've got about a half a dozen different food vendors who will be lined up to be there. We'll also have live music by Mac Cone and Burnham Wood. So it's going to be a party down under the train shed, and I'm really excited. This is an event that grows more every year. This year we will have over 50 different breweries represented, and of those we will have 19 breweries that are actually located in the state of Alabama, and then a few from the in close proximity from right across the Georgia line and the Florida line.
That's close enough for for government work. You know, one of the times, David Ingram and I, my good friend David Ingram, we went down, and what we would do is we'd go sample some beer and then go get a Chris's hot dog. And then go sample some beer and get some Chris's hot dog. It was perfect.
Well, Gus, we'll be back there again if you want to stay with that plan.
So you got pizza and hot dogs. Anything else?
Let's see what else we've got. I've got a couple of vendors that'll have a number of different things. We will also have barbecue.
Ooh.
And there is also going to be a barbecue cook-off in June out at Wind Creek. So we have arranged to have one of the cooking teams from the barbecue cook-off to come down, set up at the Brewfest, and they will actually be doing a barbecue demonstration.
Because let me tell you, several of the beers that you've got on here pair really well with barbecue. That is kind of the new thing, is people trying to figure out what beers pair with great food. I've never thought about seafood and beer. Never in my life have I ever thought about that. But there are some great beers that pair great with seafood.
Well, there really are. And, you know, there's been a huge explosion in craft beer and the nuances of what you can taste in those beers and the different ways that people are now making beers and kind of tweaking them and giving them some uniqueness and personality of their own really makes the beer scene rival the wine scene with regard to variety and different styles.
It really is. I jumped into my IPA bath this weekend, and we tried several there. And let me tell you something, folks. I'm really enjoyed experiencing new beers, and you can go to places like Dirk's and Fresh Market, and they can do this six pack for $9.99 that you match together. But let me tell you a little trick: is that if you go to the Brewfest and you enjoy that, you'll find beers that you like, and it's so much you're gonna have dozens upon dozens of beers to sample, and you're gonna find some great beers that you didn't know were out there.
Absolutely. And if you are a craft beer aficionado or just wanting to get into it for the first time, there is not going to be any better place to be than the Train Shed on Friday evening.
Tell them how they get tickets.
Tickets are available at our website, which is funinmontgomery.com. You can also pick them up at our offices located at 200 Coosa Street in Riverwalk Stadium. You can get them online at, over the phone, I should say, at 334-625-2100.
He's going to give you that number again a little bit.
Absolutely.
Later.
And then we'll also have a limited number there at the gate for purchase as well. So lots of places to get them. And you can even pick them up over in Cloverdale at Filet and Vine.
Are they going to, are some of the breweries going to have beers that you can buy there on the spot?
No, we can't do that. Like the wine festival, we always have wine that you can purchase there, but right, we're actually going to be pouring over 100 different beers.
Oh, my goodness.
So it might be a little bit of a logistical challenge to try and have all of those beers there and available for sale. So we just want folks to come out, enjoy the evening, find something you like, support what the distributors and what the Alabama breweries are doing, and then go to your local shop, and if they don't have it on the shelf, ask them to bring it in for you.
There you go, exactly right, because what's happening is if you find a beer, I know Dirk's and also Fresh Market will do this, they'll go out and get that beer for you if you're going to be a user of that beer. And that's what, it's so daunting. Like, I was in Dirk's this weekend, and I was trying to find a particular IPA, and they didn't have that. I found it in another location, but it's very daunting to look at all the possibilities. And the Brewfest basically solves that problem for you. You get to try a lot of good beers, you get to find them, and then Will the person who's pouring, will they be the vendor themselves, or are these going to be volunteers like Mark Conversino?
There will be lots of volunteers there pouring beer. However, there will be representatives with those volunteers, either from the distributor or from the individual breweries, that can answer your questions about what they're offering up.
And I've really gotten into beers. I mean, this has been my new, this is like my wine wave of about 10 years ago. Now I'm at the on a beer wave. Yes, I'm not going to give up my Corona, but a great IPA or a great beer with things like barbecue or salsa and things like that, it is amazing the taste that you can get from a beer.
There are actually restaurants now that are actually where we've gotten into the habit of having wine dinners where they have a different wine paired with every course. There are now restaurants that are out there, and they are doing beer dinners where they will have a different beer paired with every course, and the chefs are working with the distributors or with the breweries on what they're doing.
And what happens is the beer just like in wine, but in a way different, it makes the taste of the food just jump out at you.
Absolutely.
And you really, whether it's pizza or whether it's, like I said, I was shocked at seafood. And somebody told me about that, and so I did a little seafood with it. And then barbecue is a natural, particularly with things like Voodoo Ranger and things like that. That's right. A great, I mean, that it takes that barbecue and just makes it scream, yeah!
Well, my favorite development is the stout breakfast beers that are out there that pair great with breakfast, and they're coffee and chocolate flavored, all sorts of different flavors.
So you drank them before the show now?
What?
I think I caught him, Ken.
Dan, one other thing also that we're really happy with the Brewfest is that once again this year we have paired up with the Family Sunshine Center.
Mm-hmm.
So the Family Sunshine Center will be getting proceeds from the Brewfest. And we're really happy to be able to put together a great event like this that not only brings folks into downtown Montgomery, provides a new and unique experience for folks, but then also benefits a terrific organization that's doing just worlds of good in the community.
And again, what can happen is you can bring a minor with you to it, and they'll just put a special band on them?
Well, basically what happens is when you come to the gate, we're going to ID you because the ABC board says we should, and we agree. And then you're going to get a wristband and your $25 ticket. And we started this event 7 years ago with a $25 ticket, and we are still at a $25 ticket.
That's why I love you, Ken. I love you for that. And make it better, and it stays the same price.
Absolutely. Once you have been ID'd as being 21 and older, then you will get a wristband and a commemorative glass that is yours to keep, and then you can walk around to any of the distributors or brewery tables that you select and taste what they've got, and they will only pour to folks that are wearing a wristband into one of our glasses.
But somebody can accompany someone who has a ticket without
absolutely
a ticket.
Designated drivers are always welcome, and they're always free into the event, because you can still come down as the designated driver. There'll be vendors there that will have soft drinks for you, bottled water. You can still enjoy the food, you can enjoy the music, and then you can see that all of the folks who are enjoying other things get home safely.
Now, this is on Friday night, is
yes.
The beer. Now, tell me about Saturday night.
Saturday night, the fun just keeps going, and we are also doing the 7th annual River Jam Music Festival. And we're excited about that. We've got a fantastic lineup for the River Jam Music Festival this year. The gates will open at 5 o'clock. Music will start at 6 o'clock. And our first act will be Jessie Lynn, a fantastic singer-songwriter from Prattville. Jessie has just released her first Nashville album, and she already has a single off of that album that's charting. So we're really thrilled to have her open up this year's River Jam for us. And then we're going to have Kirk J take the stage, coming off of a fantastic performance on The Voice. Kirk has played with us several times before at the Riverfront when we were doing the Battle of the Bands. He actually came down the first year and placed second, and then came back the following year and won Montgomery's Battle of the Band.
There you go. Now tell me about can they bring lawn chairs, and what's not allowed in?
All right, there will be no coolers at River Jam, but we will once again have a fantastic array of folks that are coming down and bringing food. And then, of course, there will be adult beverages available for purchase as well. And after Kirk J leaves the stage...
Is there going to be like a beer station, or are you going to have to go up the hill to...
Sandbar.
Sandbar?
Okay. Yes.
And you're going to have food trucks that will be outside the gate?
They won't be outside the gate. They'll be inside the gate lined up there along the rail like they normally are at our city events and at the amphitheater.
Cool. So they've had some pretty good food trucks down there.
Absolutely. And there again, we'll have...
That was a smart addition for Montgomery.
And I will tell you that Gus has already told us that at either or both of these events, you can get a Chris's hot dog.
My favorite. Love those guys. Love those guys. They've been listening to the show for a lot of years.
Yep.
And anybody that... every time somebody visits me in Montgomery, I take them to Chris's to kind of share the history with them.
Absolutely.
Ken, I want to thank you, my friend. And we're going to have some tickets to give away. And I will see you down there. Yes.
Terrific. And there's one other thing I need to remind everybody of, because after Kirk J leaves the stage on Saturday evening, mm-hmm. we have Corey Smith taking the stage.
Oh, yeah.
Corey's from Athens, Georgia, a phenomenal Southern singer-songwriter who has traveled all over the world taking his message of Southern life and fantastic music. And it's been quite a number of years since Corey has been in Montgomery, and we are thrilled to have Corey back on the amphitheater stage as well.
That is, I tell you, it sounds like a great weekend. And I tell you, the weather looks like it's going to be super. It's not going to be quite as good as today, but it's going to be a little bit warmer, But I think the rain's going to hold off on us.
We're supposed to have fantastic weather. It will be Chamber of Commerce weather this weekend.
There you go. Ken, thank you so much. I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate you coming in.
Our pleasure. And again, tickets for both of those events, River Jam and Brewfest at funinmontgomery.com.
Telephone number?
334-625-2100. Or swing by and see us at 200 Coosa Street in Riverwalk Stadium.
Ken, again, thank you so very much, my friend. Always love having you in. Love seeing things going on in downtown Montgomery.
Thank you.
News Channel 93.1, Dan Morris Show. We're going to be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show. News Talk 93.1 FM. Giving voice to liberty in our time. The Joey Clark Radio Hour. Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
A new month is with us, the month of spring and growth, the fifth month of the year, and also the month in which huge and important celebrations take place. I'm Dick Brubaker, and we're celebrating in May with the Bigger Things sales event at Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. What could be bigger than getting up to $12,645 off a new 2019 Ram 1500 Bighorn Quad Cab? More space, more storage, more leather, more technology. The all-new 2019 Ram 1500 is truly the best combination of grit and grace. At Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we have locations in Montgomery and Prattville. You can check out our inventory right now online at brubaker.com and come join us for the Bigger Things sales event. Save up to $12,645 on an all-new 2019 Ram 1500 Bighorn Quad Cab. Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Better vehicles, better service, better pricing. It's a better buy at Brubaker.
Plus tax, tag, title, and fee. Stock number R9104. See dealer for details. Offer ends 5/20/19.
As a kid, I got a kick out of helping my grandpa string up a white sheet in the living room while grandma loaded the reel with home movies. I even enjoy watching the VHS tapes my parents took of me at my first soccer game. My poor dad, running around the field with that huge camcorder on his shoulder, huffing and puffing. I capture all my kiddos' moments on my phone. I don't want to lose this visual history, as I like to call it. I did my research and trusted Dan Black Studios to convert our files and films. Dan Black Studios has provided quality professional video services to the River Region for over 30 years and can convert anything to a DVD or digital format. 8mm films, slides, VHS tapes, iPhone videos and pictures. I mean, everything. Dan Black Studios' processing facility is in Montgomery, unlike the big box stores, so you don't have to worry about anything being lost in transit. Preserve your visual history. Call Dan Black Studios at 334-279-6036.
Okay, quick show of hands. Who out there is renting? If you raised your hand, I'm talking to you. Why rent when you could buy? I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage, and I'm here to set the record straight. This is not your parents' mortgage. Times have changed. You're no longer required to have a 20% down payment. The USDA and VA loan programs offer 100% financing. That's no money down. But hey, if you are not a veteran, or you are not looking to purchase in a USDA-eligible area, never fear. Here at Alabama Home Mortgage, you can purchase a home with as little as 3% down. For example, that $150,000 home you've been eyeing online could be yours with only $4,500 down. Don't sign that lease before calling 567-4223. Get pre-approved today. Call 567-4223 or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to see just how much money you could be saving with an Alabama home mortgage. NMLS 1586-368. Equal housing lender.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
And we're following breaking news from the Middle East, where a series of sabotage attacks are targeting critical oil supplies. The attacks are reportedly aimed at oil tankers owned by Saudi Arabia and other countries. They come amid warnings from the U.S. about a growing threat from Iran. MTS Tayeb is monitoring these developments from London.
We got a really tense situation in the Persian Gulf right now. According to the United Arab Emirates, four vessels in the Persian Gulf were, in their words, sabotage. Saudi Arabia also says that two of its vessels were also targeted. Now, this is one of the vessels that was apparently sabotaged, but it shows no signs of damage. However, a spokesperson for the Saudi-owned Bahri Oil Company confirmed that a vessel it manages had been hit by an explosion. No one was injured, and the ship is stable. We've also just learned a Norwegian registered tanker is in the area was also damaged by a floating object. What's going on now follows warnings from the Trump administration that Iran or its quote proxies are allegedly threatening American interests in the Gulf. Iran said the attacks were quote worrying and called for a full investigation of a possible what it described as a conspiracy orchestrated by ill wishers. Whatever the case, the tensions here have only risen since President Trump withdrew from the 2015 nuclear deal brokered between Tehran and world powers.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Well, when we ever have something going on in the Middle East, you know who we call on. The one and only Dr. David Sorensen. Dr. Sorensen, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Well, tell me what you think of the piece I just played. Is this Iran up to no good?
It's hard to say. It certainly could be. We know the tensions between Iran and not only the United States, but Saudi Arabia and Israel have risen considerably since President Trump withdrew the U.S. from the Iranian nuclear deal. So it could be. It could be Iran. But it also could be somebody else. It could be the so-called Islamic State, which has declared Saudi Arabia to be an infidel state. And Saudi Arabia has bad relations with Qatar as well. So right now, we don't know. The news is more confusing than clarifying. I've only seen pictures of the damage to one tanker, the Norwegian tanker, which has a gash right above the waterline in the stern. I've seen pictures of the Saudi Arabian tankers. I don't see any visible damage. That doesn't mean there isn't damage. There were earlier reports that four ships blew up in the United Arab Emirates port of Al Fujairah. They have since denied that. So it's unclear how many ships have been attacked. It's unclear who did it. It's not even clear what the attacks were, because initially the reports called it sabotage. Normally, when a ship's attacked, we call it an attack, not sabotage. Sabotage suggests, for example, that somebody interfered with the communications of the ship through a cyber attack. So there's a lot we're still trying to iron out. The danger is that we need to make sure that we have sorted it out and done our best to attribute cause before things escalate, because I think the concern now is that we will assume it was Iran, Saudi Arabia will assume it was Iran, possibly Israel will assume it was Iran, and then there's a point where the tensions escalate beyond control. So I think, again, validation, verification is really important.
On the phone with us is our Middle East expert, Dr. David Sorensen from the Air War College. Let's start with, we sent a carrier group in, the Abraham Lincoln, into the Persian Gulf. It steamed into the Mediterranean, went straight to the Persian Gulf. And because we'd gotten some intel saying that Iran and or one of its agents may try to attack U.S. assets either in Iraq or somewhere else. How much validity do you put behind that?
I don't know. The problem is that, obviously, I don't want to know, because, and if I did, I couldn't talk about the kind of intelligence. But unclassified level, the U.S. gets its own intelligence, but we also get intelligence from other countries, from Saudi Arabia, from Israel. And where this intelligence came from, again, we don't know. If it came from Saudi Arabia, if it came from Israel, if it came from United Arab Emirates, there's always the danger that it is either completely imaginary or they have hyped up the warnings, because the hope is that the U.S. will take firmer action against Iran, something that Saudi Arabia wants, something that the United Arab Emirates wants, and something that Israel wants. The problem is that from Iran's calculations, it makes very little sense now to escalate to a crisis level. Iran is badly outgunned. Iran is already bogged down in Yemen in a war where they're supporting a Shia group. Iran is running out of money, and its forces in Syria are running out of money. It's the money they send to Hezbollah is running short because the Iranian economy is faltering. So to spark a crisis at this point in time strategically doesn't make a lot of sense for Iran's leadership. Now, again, leadership doesn't always behave rationally, but if one looks at for a reason, I don't see one at this point.
Well, you just got to another question I was going to ask. How hard are the sanctions on Iran? And I was reading that there are people actually in the streets that are protesting against the Ayatollahs.
They are. There have been protests. It's hard to know how big they are because we don't have good information, but what I'm hearing exactly confirms that there have been protests against both the Ayatollah and the president. Again, Iran has kind of two semi-separate governing systems, but there is general unhappiness in Iran because the economy is being seriously impacted. An indication of how serious the economy is and how bad it is was revealed by President Rouhani's statement yesterday, comparing the current situation in Iran to the situation during the Iran-Iraq War, where Iran lost a quarter to a third of a million people, suffered chemical attacks, suffered missiles against cities. It was a devastating war. And when the president says it's like that now, that tells you something about how bad the sanctions are, because they're total. Iran still relies heavily on oil exports and gas exports. The current sanctions not only limit sales to the usual customers, but they have repealed the exemptions. The U.S. initially said that India and Pakistan and Thailand, a couple of other countries, could be exempted until they found other sources of oil. So that kept some Iranian oil flowing. Those exemptions have now been suspended. So Iran essentially has no place to sell its oil except possibly to China. So the Iranian economy is badly faltering. And the real problem is that Iranians hoped that the nuclear agreement would end the sanctions and bring prosperity. And they actually did. For a couple of years between 2015 and 2017, the Iranian economy actually did a lot better because the sanctions came off. So Iranian expectations went up, and now they've gone back down. Now, Iranians are more likely to blame President Trump than their own leadership, but there is clearly unhappiness with the leadership. So it is serious.
Do you think this will bring them to the table as far as renegotiating the nuclear agreement?
There's no evidence that they will. In fact, the speculation by most, if not all, is that they believe they can wait this out. They argue that as bad as it was during the Iran-Iraq War, they toughed it out, they struggled, they suffered, but in the end they survived. And that's the theory that most argue today. They hope that another president will replace President Trump, and hopefully that president, in their mind, will go back and renegotiate or reopen the agreement. But I think the concern is if they do give in and offer to renegotiate, that will be seen as a sign of weakness.
And so the people are feeling it, the government is feeling it. Is there a possibility at all of the people kind of uniting and trying to turn against the government?
Well, that's certainly possible. Again, there's two forms of government. The president controls the secular side. The Ayatollahs control the religious side, which has most of the power. They have about 70% of the budget. They also have the so-called Islamic Republican Guard Corps, which is a very highly trained, dedicated group that maintains both external and internal security through a subgroup known as the Basij. When people protested in 2009, after former President Ahmadinejad essentially stole the election, hundreds of thousands of people took to the streets in Tehran and other large cities, and the regime cracked down with extraordinary brutality. We don't know how many people died, but the concern is that even if hundreds of thousands of people take to the streets again, the clerics' muscle forces, the Islamic Republican Guard and others, will do the same thing. They'll come in and use whatever force they have to, because in many ways, these militias are nothing more than thug armies who are paid off by the Ayatollahs to keep the Ayatollahs in power. The Ayatollahs are deeply unpopular now in Iran, and so I think they fear that if demonstrations really get large, they'll use whatever. They'll behave kind of like Bashar al-Assad did in Syria and simply crush them with any means necessary.
Let me play a story that was on America's newsroom this morning.
Are not defending Tlaib, though, as Republicans argue that things she casually told podcasters about the Holocaust are not safe.
It's dangerous when you do the research and you study the Hamas charter, where they actually talk about murdering every Jew and saying that jihad is an obligation. And just last week in a Philadelphia Islamic community center, the Muslim American Society, with ties, one of their founders is actually was the head of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Tlaib first came on the radar her first week in Congress talking about President Trump, saying she wanted to impeach the expletive.
Listen, in this, she talked about that she's Palestinian and that the Holocaust, you know, just kind of happened, and that they're not looking at all the fact that the Jews came in and took over the Palestine land. Try to clear this up for the audience. What is the actual history of the State of Israel being formed, and what was it formed out of?
Well, that's a highly controversial question.
I know.
I'm glad you asked it. That's why we're here.
There you go. That's where we pay you the big bucks.
Well, here's the deal. Initially, the Israeli story was a land for people, a land without people for a people without land. Fact is that about 700 to 1.2 million Palestinians were living in what is Israel in 1948. Israeli historians have gone back and gone through the records, and the Israeli army has actually done its own research on what happened. And when one goes through the documents, which, again, are the most reliable sources we have, the fact is that most Palestinians who left, and that was about 700,000 who left, were driven out by either settlers or by the Jewish militias. In some cases, they were subject to real terrorism. A Jewish terrorist group went into a village called Angelut, in May 1948, rounded up the population, dismembered many of them, took some survivors and put them on trucks and paraded them through the other Palestinian villages to tell their story and to terrorize people into leaving. Again, Benny Morris is an Israeli historian, documents cases where the Palestinians tried to come back to harvest their crops, and some were shot. Now, it is also the case that some Palestinian leaders told their followers to leave. We'll mobilize somewhere, and then we'll take back the land. But the fact is that, again, according to the historical documents collected by the Israelis, of the 1.2 million Palestinians in the State of Israel, about 700,000 who left, most were driven out by the Israeli settlers. Now, there was violence on both sides, and nobody has clean hands on this. After Ayn Jalut, a group of Palestinians massacred some medical workers, some Israeli Jewish medical workers on their way to a hospital in Mount Scopus. They set the buses on fire and most burned alive. So, again, it was a terribly tragic period, and I would argue that there's plenty of blame on both sides. But the Palestinian argument that one hears today and that the representative is making is not without historical validity based on the documents.
And so what happened is, so they went back and got the original Israel from back during the Moses days. Is that basically what happened?
Well, here's what happened. The historical kingdoms of Israel, which again goes back to the days of Moses, ended about 70 in the Common Era, not because of the Muslims, but because of the Romans. It was the Christian Romans and the pagan Romans who drove out the Jewish tribes. The Romans were there until the Muslims showed up in 636. The Muslims essentially defeated the Christian Byzantine Empire. There were almost no Jews left in Palestine by that point. Most had left. And by the way, historical note, I was finally was able to go to Masada, the very last stronghold of the Jews in 79. The Romans fortifications all around them. You take the tram up there. And it is a tragic ending to the Hebrew kingdoms, but again, it was at the hands of the Romans, not the Muslims. But after 636, Palestine changes hands many times, finally becomes a part of the Ottoman Empire. That ends in 1918 with the defeat of the Turkish Ottomans in World War I. And then it becomes the problem for the British. The British are given Palestine by the League of Nations. They try very hard to keep out Jewish immigration because they fear that's going to weaken their hold on their empire, which has a big piece of it was Muslim. And so in many ways, it was the British who finally pull out in 1948, wash their hands of the situation, and essentially leave a power vacuum that the Jewish armies and the Palestinians try to fill, but again, there's no referee, and so what happens is the 1948 war, which the Israelis win.
Big time. The Mossad was such a horrific event that that's what they named their security police after, their intelligence group that's after. Real quickly, tell me about the Muslim Brotherhood. Are they making a comeback?
Well, here's the problem. There is no real single Muslim Brotherhood. And when President Trump says he's going to declare it a terrorist group, my question is which one? Because the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood pretty much gave up on violence in 1966, but it's not because they were the good guys, but because their leaders were winding up at the end of a rope. And so far, they have kept that pledge. In fact, some of the more radical Islamists left the Muslim Brotherhood and formed groups like Al-Qaeda because they wanted a violent group. The Syrian Muslim Brotherhood was an extraordinarily violent group, very different group than the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood. The Jordanian Muslim Brotherhood tends to want to come to power through elections rather than through violence. There's been very little Muslim Brotherhood violence. I would argue that their biggest crime is not violence. Their biggest crime is incompetence. A Muslim Brotherhood candidate wins the presidency in Egypt in election in 2012 and lasts a whole year before the Egyptian army in a large public outcry overthrows them. Because the inexperienced president decided he didn't need a Supreme Court. He fired most of the senior Egyptians. He bungled the economy very badly. And again, it took people just a year before they decided that they'd had it. And that president, Mohamed Morsi, is now in jail along with most of the senior leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood. I don't think it's a dangerous group. I just think in many ways it has been eclipsed by the more violent Islamist groups because the Muslim Brotherhood had, in many ways, tried to bring about a peaceful transition of power, which, again, they have simply bungled.
Dr. Sorensen, as always, I want to thank you for calling in today and educating the audience as well as you did.
Well, I always appreciate the opportunity, Dan. Thank you very much.
Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. David Sorensen, a Middle East expert, weighing in on the happenings there that you'll be seeing on the news tonight and in the future. Let me go to a break and come back. My good friend, Dan Black, in the studio. We'll be right back.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACB.
Biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The stock market's down today with the Chinese government announcing its next move in the trade fight with the United States.
China's finance ministry announced that it's raising tariffs on $60 billion of American goods to 20 to 25% from 10%, and the first Chinese move to retaliate over President Trump's increase in tariffs on Chinese goods.
Fox's John Decker. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Brussels, Belgium, to talk about Iran.
The State Department saying this last-minute visit to Belgium will see Mike Pompeo meeting with European allies to discuss what a spokesperson calls recent threatening actions and statements by Iran. The Europeans are trying to keep the Iran nuclear deal alive after the U.S. pulled out last year.
Fox's Simon Owen. Amazon is offering employees 3 months' pay plus $10,000 to quit and start their own business delivering Amazon packages. This is Fox News.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network, brought to you by Alabama Wholesale Lumber. Alabama Wholesale Lumber, serving the River Region with the best quality building materials for decades. Contractor to do-it-yourselfer. Call Alabama Wholesale Lumber.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. What a nice pattern we're getting into and a chance to dry out for a few days. Mostly sunny today, less humid, comfortable, high temperature up to about 79. Tonight, clear skies, pleasantly cool, overnight low temperature 56. Tomorrow, sunshine, nearly perfect. Upper 70s tomorrow, mid-50s again tomorrow night, low to mid-80s on Wednesday, and still nice. Thursday, not much change. Thursday's high 86. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Fox Tonight.
911, what is your emergency?
All season long, critics called 911 outrageous.
This guy sent his bombs through the mail.
Unpredictable.
I'm on this guy's mailing list?
I think so.
And addictive.
Bomb squad just cleared your home, Captain Nash. Nothing there.
So we saved the biggest bombshell.
Or maybe he searched the wrong house.
For last. 911, the explosive season finale, followed by an all-new Paradise Hotel.
Tonight on Fox 20.
Hi, I'm David Woods, and I want to invite you to get your news, weather, and sports 1 hour earlier on the WCOV News at 9.
Diversity in the workplace was on the minds of hundreds of people attending a diversity summit in the capital city.
We cover the news of the day while shining a light on those who are helping to make Montgomery a better place.
A future in manufacturing as a skilled worker could be one of their next moves.
And they care about what goes on in a community.
Join us on the WCOV News at 9 on Fox 20.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Ooh, 272-9228 is where we are. I want to thank Dr. David Sorensen for calling in today. He is such a great guest. Didn't get to ask him what he thinks U.S. would do if they did strike at USSS in Iraq. I don't think it would be very pretty. Let's bring in my good friend, Dan Black of Dan Black Studios. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here today.
It is great to have you here. Now, you're getting back into, you have sold Mr. Electric. By the way, your new owner is great, and the people are still great. Terry did a fabulous job, but he saved me a bunch of money. I'm getting rid of that Alabama Power Light. But you're kind of going back to your real art form, and that's doing videos, but also anything having to do with videos. Now, I know some people have been, and I tell people this all the time, you know, you've got your videos sitting there and you want to keep them. Well, them sitting there in a box ain't going to be keeping them.
No.
Because they're going to deteriorate on them.
No, that's exactly right. And one point I wanted to make today, Dan, is that most people, probably at least 50% of the people that come in, have VHS tapes. VHS tapes go back to 1980 and even prior to 1980. And the problem we're having is the professional-type machines that we use to transfer these, they don't make them anymore. The newest ones are 20 to 25 years old. And when those wear out, they're gone, and there's no way to transfer those anymore. And it's not just us. Anybody around the country that's doing this, they're having the same problem. The machines are just, they don't make them. They don't.
I remember you slide it in, and then it drops down into the thing.
Yeah. So if anybody's got VHS tapes and they want to get them preserved and get them on.
You better do it now.
Better do it now, and that's just the fact.
Can you do Beta also?
We can do Betamax, the old Betamax. Those are Sony-only machines. Yeah. We can do those.
Better now, that's what I had. I was way out there.
Oh, those were quality machines that just didn't catch on. Sony was the only one making them, and they wouldn't license anybody else, so that's what happened.
But short-sightedness on Sony's part.
Yeah, on Sony's part.
But it was a great, that camera and quality was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cost me a pretty penny.
I'm sure it did.
Worth one child, firstborn type thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and what happens is, and this is what I've been telling people, is you not only can convert it, but you're going to digitize it, and then they can store it up on the cloud, but they're going to have it. So they've got a place to store that where they can access, it's always going to be there.
Right, that's exactly right. Yeah, if you can put it on a DVD, but most of our customers are wanting digital files now.
Well, the other thing that I was telling people about is you can film chain pictures too, correct?
We can do pictures. As a matter of fact, we have a customer that came in just the other day. We're doing about 1,500, somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 slides from the 70s and the 80s. Their father was a photography person.
Right.
He loved taking photos on all the vacations, and so he passed away, and they wanted to keep those for the family.
What a great idea. You just put it on a film chain, and you're projecting into the film chain.
Well, actually, we scan them in.
You do?
We scan them in.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Technology jumped over me real quick, didn't it? But see, another thing I was telling somebody about is that they've got this new thing where you can take a jump drive and put it into a picture.
Right.
And you can have your picture sitting there, instead of just a picture sitting there stagnant, it's changing all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. And you guys can do that also for them.
Yeah, we can put them on thumb drives or portable hard drives. Yeah.
Let's talk about another subject matter that's near and dear to my heart, and that is basically short band communications where people are getting a video done where you can do the video for them. You can do it in studio. You can go to their location, all sorts of things. And it's the new way to really communicate to people.
Right.
And you can go in and do something that's talking about your business, what you do. You can show them examples. You can show, if you're a house cleaner, you can show them a before and after shot of the house that you clean. If you are doing special type of repairs, you can demonstrate that. So the person really has a much better feel of your service and your product and the quality.
Right.
And that is a great way to communicate to people.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Before and after pictures, photographs, painting, if someone has a painting business. The other thing we can do is we can do drone shots as well if people want an aerial shot of their business or their property.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But, what we have to do for those of you who have either services or businesses, what you've got to do is you need to think differently about how you're communicating to your customers. I call it the old Yellow Page concept. The Yellow Page era was, I'm waiting on somebody to call me, they need me, and they go to Yellow Pages, and they find me. Well, Yellow Pages are like non-existent.
Exactly.
So then the next thing they do is they go Google you.
Right.
And they look at how many likes you have and what type of ratings. But if you're not telling them about what you do, then it's really hard to communicate that. People want information to make a buying decision. I tell them that all the time.
Right.
And you can help them with that.
Sure. No, most people will sit and watch it, a minute and a half, 2 minute video. They watch it all day long because they're being entertained and informed at the same time, and they can do it on their smartphone. Who goes to the computer much anymore? Everybody does it on their smartphone. But yeah, you can sit and watch videos, to learn all about a business.
So if you have a business or you have a service that you're doing and you need a landing page, we can help you with that. But Dan can do the videos for you. And I'm telling you, folks, you will find things completely different when you do a video of how you're interacting with your customers. And if you've got some type of service or product that has any kind of complexity to it, a video is a must. I call it the wall of disinformation. If you do not have the information, a person will not make a buying decision. So there's a wall of disinformation. They don't know, so they will not move.
One of the best ways to do that is, as you know, Dan, is testimonials. If somebody's got three or four customers, then you can get them on video. That's a very powerful way to promote.
Absolutely. And then, particularly if it's somebody that you can identify with, they kind of look like you, or they kind of look like that you're in the social strata with them, that is a great way to communicate to people. And in my website, we're kind of based in video because we're taking video cuts from what we put on the show and we're putting them up on the platform. And it is amazing the number of people that hit those things. I mean,
sure.
It's absolutely,
yeah.
I mean, from all over the place.
Right.
All over the world, literally.
Well, people sit and watch videos on Facebook all the time. So it's, primary example.
And you also there may be something that you do really well that you want to put on video and kind of show to people. I know that there was one lady who was really good at cooking, and I suggested to her to go do a video. And so what she would do is she would do video of the cakes and things that she did. And then she did something that was brilliant. Then she would go take a slice of it, and she had her grandkids' friends to come in, and they would have a glass of milk and like a piece of cake. And you could not get those kids to be quiet, and it was great. But she was in a home baking business,
right,
and consignment business, and she sold the heck out of that. That was
sure.
About 3 years ago, too.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine what it's like now.
Oh, yeah.
So, Dan, how do they get in contact with you?
They can just Google Dan Black Studios.
Yeah. How about a telephone number, though? These people love a telephone number.
Well, 279-6036. That's 279-6036 or Google Dan Black Studios.
And you can drop off things at Monticello. You're not going to drop ship them. You don't drop ship them. You do everything at Dan Black Studios.
That's exactly right. We don't ship anything out like the big box stores. Everything's done at our facility.
And one other real big item for you is he has an actual studio with great lights, Leicos, and everything that you need to get that professional look. So if you want to do something in studio, that if you write the copy and Dan will shoot it for you.
Absolutely.
And turn into a great little piece.
Mm-hmm. And it's very cost effective as well.
It is. Let me tell you something. You want to drive your business, that's what you need to be doing right now. If you don't have a platform, I can help you with that. Just contact me, dan@danmorrisshow.com. I'll then link you up with Dan Black, and we'll get this bad boy started. Dan, I want to thank you, buddy.
All right. Thank you.
I'm glad that you're going back to your number one piece there. By the way, I tell the audience this one day, the Weather Channel hires you to go out after these hurricanes and everything.
Right, yeah.
And so, who are some of the people that you film?
Well, I mean, in terms of working with some of the Weather Channel people. Well, any of them, really. All of the people that you see on camera, they come out into the field.
He has got some great stories.